On T.C. Boyle's Greasy Lake. There was a time when courtesy and winning ways went out of style, when it was good to be bad, when you cultivated decadence like a taste. We were all dangerous characters then. We wore torn-up leather jackets, slouched around with toothpicks in our mouths, sniffed glue and ether in what somebody claimed was cocaine. When we wheeled our parents' whining station wagons out onto the street, we left a patch of rubber half a block long. We drank gin and grape juice, Tango, Thunderbird, and Valley High. We were 19. We were bad. We read André Gide and struck elaborate poses to show that we didn't give a shit about anything. At night, we went up to Greasy Lake. T.C. Boyle's poignant first paragraph of his well-known story, Greasy Lake, sets up the time, the characters, the setting, and the tone in a very brief space. Greasy Lake is the title piece of Boyle's 1985 collection, a story that draws on his own wild teenage years. Boyle was born into an Irish working-class family, and both of his parents were alcoholics. He has often written and spoken about his difficult and rebellious adolescence and how this personal history is reflected in his stories. Critic Stephen Crist has said that Boyle depicts our world through his funhouse mirror. In Boyle's writing, there is often a darkly comic undercurrent, and ordinary situations seem to take on a surreal quality in his depiction of them. Boyle establishes a darkly humorous, ironic tone from the first paragraph of Greasy Lake, which continues throughout the story, even as the characters cross over a threshold to experience what it means to really become dangerous characters that night. In part one, I discuss the first paragraph and the way it begins to establish the setting and the characters. The second paragraph of the story continues to present these elements and begins to develop one of the central concerns of the story, the man-made world in opposition to the natural one. Note, in particular, the final sentence of the second paragraph. We went up to the lake because everyone went there, because we wanted to snuff the rich scent of possibility on the breeze. Watch a girl take off her clothes and plunge into the festering murk. Drink beer, smoke pot, howl at the stars, savor the incongruous roar of rock and roll against the primeval susurrus of frogs and crickets. This was nature. The second paragraph also continues to establish the tone more firmly. When Boyle writes, "This was nature," he reinforces the tongue-in-cheek tone in the same way he does through the structure of his statements in the first paragraph. We were 19. We were bad. The brevity of these statements, delivered as absolutes, is a clue to their being meant as ironic. The statement, "This was nature," is repeated later in the story, as will be discussed in the next section. There is a cinematic quality throughout the story, often in the way scenes are described. After the boy's descent into Greasy Lake, in the paragraph beginning, "Blonde head nodded at blonde head," the characters suddenly dropped branches, bottles, and rocks and sprang for their car in unison as if they'd choreographed it. There are a number of explicit film references throughout the story, such as the toad emerging from the loaf in the film Virgin Spring, and the reference to the narrator inching forward, elbows and knees, his belly pressed to the muck, thinking of guerrillas and commandos, and the film The Naked and the Dead. Boyle uses these film references to create the effect of life imitating art, instead of art imitating life, as we more often think of it, and to underscore that the characters are emulating bad behavior. He hints at this idea throughout, specifically when he says, "In one of those nasty little epiphanies for which we are prepared by films and TV and childhood visits to the funeral home, I understood what it was that bobbed there so inadmissibly in the dark." Greasy Lake presents a kind of memento mori, a moment of recognizing mortality. The boys initiate a series of events that get them into serious trouble and almost lead to tragedy in their lives. In undergoing these events, they seem to reach an epiphany about the choices in their lives. At the end of the story, they turn down the offer to party with some girls. "I just looked at her. I thought I was going to cry." Digby broke the silence. "No thanks," he said, leaning over me. "Some other time." Though Digby doesn't entirely refuse and still says, "some other time," we do get a sense that both of these characters have undergone a significant transformation after their night at and in the murky waters of Greasy Lake. The character who thinks he is going to cry is a far cry from the self-described bad character of the story's first paragraph. There are a multitude of ways to approach writing about Greasy Lake. You could think about the piece in connection with other stories you've read. For instance, Louise Erdrich's The Red Convertible, also discussed on this website, has certain similarities to Boyle's story, as well as significant differences to explore. Comparing Greasy Lake to The Red Convertible would offer a number of different possibilities for drawing lines of connection, while also establishing these stark differences, from the characters to the importance of the car as a symbol in each of the stories, to the trials the characters in each story undergo, to the dramatic tension building, to the conclusion of each. In each story, there is a descent into the dark water. Yet, only in Greasy Lake do both characters emerge from it intact. Another approach would be to trace a distinct aspect of the story, such as the film references and their significance, as discussed in part two. You could focus on the significance of the setting of the story, and perhaps its importance in establishing a certain theme, such as the man-made versus the natural world. The statement, "This was nature," in the second paragraph, is echoed at the end of the story, after the boys emerge from the lake at dawn. "There was a smell in the air, raw and sweet at the same time, the smell of the sun firing buds and opening blossoms. I contemplated the car. It lay there like a wreck along the highway, like a steel sculpture left over from a vanished civilization. Everything was still. This was nature." You might also think about the story in terms of the trials and revelations the characters undergo, a theme that Joseph Campbell's work often discusses. The boys in Greasy Lake certainly have a kind of epiphany there in the primordial ooze of the lake.